Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It's FundDrive 2025. CITR's annual fundraising event has arrived. It's that time of the year when we ask you, listeners of the station, to help us continue to provide you with quality independent radio programming. The theme is Disco Inferno, and this year's station target is $20,000. It's all about Discorder magazine in 2025. The station is looking to build a new website. We're also looking to create a physical archive and expanded physical distribution of Discorder across the Lower Mainland. All donations can be made at donatetocitr.ca. My show is Techno Progressivo and has been on air since October 2010. This is the 341st episode. Over the past 15 years, the station has allowed me to provide you with quality guest mixes and DJ and producer interviews with a who's who of the local club scene, as well as some amazing world-class DJs. Tonight, I'll be doing a best of 2024 episode that saw me interview some amazing up-and-comers like Dougal Fox, Glennie, Naz, and Andrea Giudice, as well as legends of the scene like Buka Shade. I was able to showcase some amazing Canadian talent this year in the form of Footwork, Stun, Jenner, and local DJ C-Star. On offer for you this evening is Edmonton's Yo Luca, Toronto's Glenn Morrison, and the aforementioned Buka Shade. First up is a snippet of my interview with Atlanta's Sam Wolf, a newer producer who, without hyperbole, is absolutely smashing it in the techno world. Massive. And here is what he had to say. And then let's continue with DJing. How do you approach making your sets? Do you have a roadmap in mind when you get up there, or are you content just to play to the floor and whatever they're responding to?
Yeah, no, that's a really good, because, you know, you hear that. It's like one of those arguments on EDM Twitter or Facebook you see all the time. And it's like real DJing and this, that, and the other. For me personally, it's very difficult to find peak time techno tracks that fit my sound. So when I find good ones, they typically tend to stay in the playlist for, you know, a good amount of time. However, one of the things that I hate to do is to show back up. Like if I played, you know, Tampa, Florida, I will try and make sure that literally not one single track that I played the last time I was there is what I'm going to play this time. I spin really fast. So in a 2 hour set, 2 hours for me, I do about 30 tracks in an hour. So 2 hours is anywhere from 60 to 65 songs, because as I speed up to, you know, going hard, you'll burn through tracks a whole lot quicker. So let's just say it's 60 songs. Of that 60 songs, I'll have like around 90 in a playlist. And normally when I get to the city, it's hard to describe, but like I'll be sitting in my hotel room and then I'll kind of arrange the playlist based on a gut instinct of what I want to do that night. And I know it doesn't really make sense, but like as you do this more and more and more, I kind of feel like, okay, tonight this into this is going to feel really good, and this into this. And it could be complete pseudoscience. It makes no sense. But the reality is that at the end of the day, whatever you're the most into, and when I say you're, like you, the DJ, if you're super into the songs and you're feeling it and you are really enjoying it, that is going to translate the best on the dance floor. Of course, there's going to be times where the dance floor isn't responding as much. And when stuff like that happens, then I start to skip around. I've been playing these tracks out for the most part so many times where I kind of know them by heart. So I'll just know, all right, this cue point into this cue point, yada, yada, yada. So I kind of set my tracks up in like a 16-32 bar cue point kind of loop where I know, hey, this breakdown into this second drop is going to fit like a puzzle piece, or I'll do these little routines where I know these two songs double drop really well into each other, things like that. So I pretty much know for the most part where I'm going to go, with the ability to skip tracks if they aren't hitting. But every single time I get to a new city, when I'm sitting in the hotel room, I like to kind of reset and rearrange the playlist for something unique that night based on a gut feeling.
Okay, let's talk about your gigging history here. Can you recall any festivals, clubs, or events that you've played at during that period of time that have really stood out for you as genuine wow moments, and what made them so special?
Yes, again, another great question. And I know this might sound cheesy and people might say, ah, come on or whatever, but to be perfectly honest, it really is, for the most part, every single show is that wow, this is happening moment, because I went through a period in my life where I completely quit and gave up and had no intention of ever pursuing this. And I really became somebody that I would never want to be again. I became a hater. I literally avoided going to some events because in the back of my mind, it was like, why do I want to be at this show? It's just going to make me upset that this person is doing the dream that I always wanted to do. And thinking back on that, like, that's just a terrible way to live and a sad existence. And so when I see, I know I'm jumping around here, but when I see people that are like haters online, I totally understand, you know, 9 times out of 10 people that are upset, they're really just upset at their own circumstances. And it's easy to just kind of lash out and be negative online, because I used to be in a similar dark place. And so the reason that I say every moment is a wow moment is because I look up and at the crowd and I realize I am one of the luckiest people on the planet, because I'm getting to travel the world doing what I love right now. And so many people would want to do this. And the good news is, I will say, is that there is so much space that if this is something that you do want to do, there's space for you to do it. The scene is only growing, you know, North America, all around the world, electronic music is only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's a fraction of what, you know, hip hop, rock, country music is in regards to, you know, concert attendance all around the world. But getting a little bit more specific, getting to play Saudi Arabia was absolutely insane, because never in a million years would I think that I would get to go to Saudi Arabia and play. And obviously, you know, I had a lot of preconceived notions about what the society would be like, and it completely shattered all of them. Super, super friendly, amazing time, and very, very, very interesting. Going to India was absolutely insane, because the crowds were just such electric energy. To be perfectly honest, Canada has been an amazing market for me, which I never would have expected. I've played Toronto 3 times now in some of my biggest shows. Last time that I played Edmonton was a great show for me. Montreal was insane. So I'm really excited to do Vancouver, because just the energy is electric. Honestly, I really do like to look up every time. I'm extremely fortunate and so lucky.
Okay, you've already mentioned Umek here. Can you think of a couple other producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
Yeah, there's definitely so many of those. First shout out I gotta give is to my man Hunter Siegel. Well, he goes obviously by Hunter now. He used to be Hunter Siegel in Toronto. He's been a mentor since day one. One of my first records I signed on his label, No Neon. He's the king of Toronto, you know, the man won a Juno. He's just a really good friend, inspirational, just super, super fortunate for all of the guidance that he's given me, because he's been in this music industry now for like 13 plus years. Really appreciate Hunter. I gotta give it up for my homie who I just collab with, Maro Sam. We've just known each other on Instagram for almost 4 years now, and just been on a similar path, you know, in the peak time techno space. And he is such a talented producer, and just we really enjoy making music together, bouncing ideas off of each other, helping each other whenever we can. And the man is just crushing it down in Argentina. So if you've never heard of Maro Sam, you know, I would probably say that I play more of his tracks other than my own out of any other DJ in one of my sets. So he's just become a really, really close friend. So definitely want to shine a light on him. I have a really good friend named Katoon out in Lebanon, who we love making mashups together. And he's helped bring me out to Lebanon several times. Also an amazing producer, and just a great, genuine human being. So check out Katoon, K-H-A-T-U-N-E. Yeah, there's so many others that I could mention, but off of the dome, those are the top three come to my mind.
I'm DJ Wah, and you're listening to the 2025 Fun Drive episode of Techno Progressivo. That was a portion of my Sam Wolf interview from last year. 101.9 CITR is hoping to raise $20,000 for a new Discorder magazine and station website, a physical archive, and expanded distribution across the Lower Mainland. You can help us by visiting donatetocitr.ca to allow us to continue offering you quality independent radio programming. For an example of that, let's check out a clip from my interview with Yo Luca. Okay, and then with an Ableton, when you are making tracks, are you generally using their stock VSTs, or do you like to bring a lot of external VSTs in, and then possibly your own hardware gear as well?
We have a lot of different plugins that we use. We kind of go crazy with it. And I also really love using hardware gear. I have a little setup at home and have a great studio. Dave, he can speak to it, works at home, and also has access to the Night Vision studio, which has lots of stuff. So I would say if I'm looking at all of our tracks, most of them have some kind of hardware or analog gear as part of it. And that might be like the entire most important part of the track or just little stuff. So I feel like we're pretty flexible. The one thing that kind of keeps us maybe in a productive way is that we have to make sure that everything Dave has, I have, and vice versa. So we like are very kind of cognizant about what we're using, but also in a great way, we have to kind of commit to our ideas and send them to each other. So I feel like it ends up being really productive. And considering we've released and signed like over 70 tracks since we started, I feel like it speaks to that.
Okay, and then in a similar vein, let's consider how you DJ as a duo. When you are performing like that, do you go back to back or multiple tracks? What's the approach that you take, and how much of your sets are planned in advance?
Yeah, I mean, it's a back to back. I feel like when we do play together, we switch it up. Like, we'll do track for track or two tracks for two tracks. You know, we also both DJ separately since we can't both always swing the same shows together.
Yeah, I'd say I feel like the gigs that we do get to play together, which is why we're so excited for EDC, it'll be the first time we got to play a really big show together since probably Shambhala. And Dave is really good about making a huge inspiration playlist and gathering tons of songs. And Dave just DJs way more than me. So it's like, I draw a lot from him, and he's always digging for new music and adding stuff to our Yo Luca playlist. And that's where I farm a lot of inspiration. It's just whatever Dave is adding to the playlist. And then hopefully we're both practiced up and then can go one for one or go for twos and have something special.
Okay, and then what's your technology of choice when you're up there? Are you using Traktor, Serato, anything along those lines, or CDJs and record box?
No computer in sight. Definitely USBs all day, every day. Yeah, record box.
Okay, let's consider your approach to DJing. What is it that makes your sets stand out?
I'd say just the we don't stick to one sound throughout our sets. I find we like to kind of tell a story with our sets. You know, we like to span different genres, keep it exciting, and just kind of work off the vibe of the crowd and just try and not, stay stagnant in one spot throughout the set. I feel like that's definitely a very important part of it.
I think Dave and I are both I feel like we've been on the dance floor so much. We really come at it from like what would be fun on the dance floor. And I think we're just not afraid to have fun with it. And I think that is something that really is the kind of through line with Yo Luca. Is just, it's very fun. And we also think it's very cool and we want it to be, but we're not afraid to have fun. So, you know, we'll have some nice big peak moments and like really give it to the dance floor, like what we would want if we were in that situation. We'll be right back.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is the 2025 Fun Drive episode of Techno Progressivo. That was a snippet from my Yo Luca interview. I'm DJ Waugh, and 101.9 CITR is trying to raise $20,000 to expand distribution of Discorder magazine and get the station a new website. Head over to donate to CITR.ca to help us accomplish this. CITR offers a broad range of spoken word and independent music programming, and your donation will help us continue to deliver it to listeners. Tonight's third segment comes from Toronto's Glenn Morrison. Let's see what he had to say. And carrying on with the DJing theme here, can you think of any festivals, clubs, events, anything along the way that you performed at that really stood out to you as an absolute wow moment?
Oh man, yeah, we had there's so many gigs. There's one gig off the cuff always that comes to mind. It was Pete Tong, Armin, Ben Buren, David Guetta, and myself on a carnival in Brazil. And it was like a million people. It was free for the city. It was during COVID. We were on a float, and every 30 minutes or so, you had to switch up the DJ, and the float would just go through the city. Carnival time, very, very nice memories, very nice memories. And frankly, a lot of my touring with Armin, some of the best memories of my life touring with Armin. David Guetta too. I toured a lot with David. He helped me in a lot of markets in Eastern Europe, and he was very kind to me. And I just have a lot of nice memories like that. Venues, to get specific on venues, if we're thinking of venues, like I had a residency in Amnesia for 3 years in Ibiza. Amnesia was a club I dreamed about when I was like a high school kid learning how to DJ on turntables in my parents' basement. So yeah, that was very, very cool to be playing there. And then there was Space in Ibiza, Space in Miami, Ajiha in Japan, Cavo Paradiso in Mykonos a few times, Green Valley in Brazil, Passion in New York. Like I played everywhere. I was really blessed. Yeah, every country had its own charm. Some gigs were more memorable than others. Sometimes I played better, and sometimes I had crap gigs too. You live and you learn, right? You put your head in the sand if you think every gig was always perfect. But I think as I got older, I was really young when I started touring. So as I got older, and you know, you respect the position you're being put in, and I always made sure my sets were unique. I always made sure of custom intros, custom outros. Be respectful of the DJ after me if I was opening and not headlining. That you have to always be respectful. Respectful as an opening act. So I knew my role. I knew when to stay in my lane when I needed to. Yeah, those were some of the best memories of my life touring like that.
Okay, tough question time here. Reflecting back on your full body of work, can you think of one or two tracks that you've made that really stood out as some of the best music you've ever produced, and what made it so special?
A Tangerine Dream and Beyond the Pale were some of my recent ones. I was really proud of them because they were born from this idea of live music, electronic jam sessions. Like, you're just making music live. It's on the go. You make sure to record everything, and then you take the good bits and turn them into songs. And those two tracks around that Corona time changed how I perceived making electronic music for my songs today. So all my songs today, they're all started from, whether it's synthesizers, outboard, or the modular, or a combination of both. All my new songs are based this way. I just kind of like jamming, making some nice riffs and melodies, and then playing it live, modulating, taking the best bits. Those songs I'm very proud of. I'm also very proud of the stuff from 20 years ago that I did with Joel, like Contact or No Sudden Mood, Circles, Hydrology. Like, we did a lot of great records together, even the Daft Punk. There were so many things that we did together at that time that were really cool. And it's hard to say what record I'm the most proud of or my best track. I don't really think there's like a best track. It's like, you're creating art, and some of it hits harder than others. Some of it I look back on and I don't like. Some of my old records, I'm like, oh, I don't like this record at all. But some of the records I do. So that's nice. You know what I mean? Like, to have objectivity like that and see where you are and where you were and where you came from, and is there progress? Is there not? Looking at yourself in a outside of body.
Okay, gazing into that crystal ball here, can you tell me what your vision is both in production, and you did mention earlier a couple of DJing gigs, but in DJing as well, where do you want to continue to take this going forward?
I mean, I basically have a release going out every Friday until the end of the year. So whether it's a single or an EP or an LP or an album or a compilation, I have music going out every week. The vision for my next 3, 6, 12 months is just to keep my head down, to be very focused with the sheer amount of music that I'm writing and who I'm collaborating with. A lot of people, we have our vinyl labels as well as our digital labels. How do we do good promo? How do we satisfy the client requests for mixing, just keeping Alpine and all the clients happy, and how do we get them to grow and become bigger themselves? How can we help them? There's a lot of responsibilities that I put on my shoulders, which I do willingly because I love working in this business and I really love working in music. So it's a blessing in that sense. But for me, DJing wise, I see, you know, we have our Mediterranean tour, which will cover Spain, Greece, Italy, Malta. That's going to be in summer. I'm excited for that. We have Japan, we have Asia as well later in the year. I know that we have South America for our winter, but their summertime. So like maybe around December, January of 2020, end of 2024, or early 2025. Yeah, we have tours coming up and a whole bunch of wonderful things that everybody can, you know, if they want to buy tickets to these events, sure, I might as well plug it. You know, please just go to the websites of, you know, glennmorrison.com or fallfromgreecerecords.com. And, you know, we're always going to have tickets for sale for these shows. We have vinyls for sale, merchandise, everything. The future really is just being busy in music. And hopefully it resonates. Like, I mean, you reached out to me and, you know, we had a nice back and forth. And, you know, it's nice to know that my music gets cared about enough that, you know, warrants having an interview. You know what I mean?
Great example of the quality programming on offer for you here at 101.9 CITR. That was Glenn Morrison. CITR is having its 2025 fund drive from February 6th to 13th. The station is hoping to raise $20,000 to bring Discorder Magazine up to date with a new website, a physical archive, and expanded distribution across the Lower Mainland. Please help us with this so we can continue offering you a broad range of independent radio programming. Visit donatetocitr.ca to pledge to the station. Up next is the fourth and final interview snippet. It's German techno legends Buka Shade, and this is my interview with them ahead of their gig in town. Okay, let's jump to gigs here. You've played everywhere globally. At this stage, it might be hard to pick this out, but can you think of one or two events either that you have played or that you're hoping to play in the future that either you're really excited about or completely blew your expectations out of the water when you played them?
Oh, there's one thing I don't even have to think about because it's always the first thing that comes to mind. There was one show at Red Rocks outside of Denver, which is certainly the top three of our shows because it was just mind-blowing. And we supported a US band called the Disco Biscuits. So Disco Biscuits were huge. They filled Red Rocks and we were booked as the support. And the idea was they play one set of, I don't know, an hour and a half, then we play an hour, then they play a second set of an hour and a half. And I can really honestly say we stole the show on that night because people reacted so well. And if you happen to know Red Rocks, it's this amphitheater in the Rocky Mountains. So you have this sea of people right in front of you, not like a field where it just disappears, but you have everyone around you. So that's definitely, that was a big moment. And thinking of having everyone around you, we had the pleasure once to support Depeche Mode in Berlin. Berlin, actually. We played twice for them. The other one was in Tel Aviv years ago. But in Berlin, it's a similar setup. It's an amphitheater where you have everyone right in front of you because it rises up. You know, it's not like a shed in America where it's a field behind, but it goes straight up in front of you, so you see every face. And when there's a good audience, then that's a great show. So these are just two examples. We are fortunate to have played a lot of interesting individual places, you know, not just clubs or you know, we played everything from by the sea, wonderful sea, to a hangar, gray hangar, somewhere in a cave, you know, we played it all.
Okay, another question that might be challenging for you here, just given the volume of your body of work. Can you think of either an album, a couple of albums that really stood out to you as some of your best productions, or even tracks that have really stood out? And what made those so special for you?
Well, of course, most likely it would be Movements, the Movements album from 2006, because it was just an enormous time. It was like at that time everything fell into place. The production was easy and was a lot of fun. Get physical. Everybody was still, you know, around. There was a great brotherhood of these people that we worked with. And it contained songs like Body Language and White Rooms, Darko, you know, Mandarin Girl, many of the songs we still play today. And if we don't play them, we'll be crucified, you know. We'll still come to hear those songs. And we're very happy. We're very thankful for it. Another album I really liked was called Dear Future Self. And it was just because the time was so, not difficult, but was special because it came out in 2020, you know, just when the first lockdowns came, and we had the album finished and were about to embark on a big world tour. Actually, we had a lot of stuff lined up, Australia, America, a lot of Europe, of course, and it happened what happened. Everybody knows it. And still, it was a time, and we weren't worried in a way about releasing the music. It was quite clubby at that time, but it was a lot of fun, like getting the music and the word out to people, and then receiving feedback from people listening to it at home, and all this, you know, everything that went on then, the feelings of I wish when I hear this music I could listen to it in a club, but it's not possible, but hell, it will be possible in the future, and we'll do it together, you know, this kind of thing. So Dear Future Self also is an album I'm really proud of, and I have fond memories of.
You mentioned some groups early on that influenced you, Depeche Mode, Chicken Lips, that sort of thing. In 2024, who really stands out to you as somebody that's pushing the boundaries or somebody that's making amazing music?
Yes, pushing. I mean, there are people who are definitely pushing boundaries. Like if you look at Fred Again or so, you know, people like these who bring in new music, who create it in a new way, who perform it in a new way. That's really interesting. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing I would want to do, but it's I have a lot of respect for those people. So that's definitely something. And well, there's still, you know, there's a young girl that we've been supporting since she was 13 years old. Her name is Joplin. She's around now already for a while, and she goes her way. I think she does some good stuff.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Please visit donatetocitr.ca to donate to the station for our 2025 Disco Inferno Fun Drive Edition. Help us to raise $20,000 to update everything that is Fun Drive Magazine. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin, or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, we're going to hop back 20 years. Unbelievable it has been that long. This was an absolute favorite end of night track for me back in 2005. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Paul Bingham is the producer. Miami's Robbie Rivera is the remixer. The track is titled The Buzz. Enjoy the ride, and I will see you back here next time.